searchlights sweeping over the Hollywood skyline. Fox Searchlight Pictures, a News Corporation company. Fox Searchlight Pictures and the Independent Film Channel Productions present A Killer Films Heart Sharp Entertainment Production. A Kimberly Pierce film. Boys Don't Cry. Two pairs of car headlights racing over tarmac in the dead of night. An accelerator pedal is floored, and one of the cars speeds up ahead, kicking up dust. Its young driver smiles triumphantly in the rearview mirror. Starring Hilary Swank as Brandon Tina and Chloe Savini as Lana. The distorted lights of a police car fade into a misty oblivion. Now in a cramped trailer cabin.
Shorter here.
That is short enough. Okay, superstar. What's with the shirt?
The driver from earlier, Tina, admires her short, boyish haircut in the mirror, whilst Lonnie lights a cigarette behind her.
That is the most frightening thing I've ever seen in my life. Looks like a deformity.
I'll fix that.
She puts one sock instead of two down her jeans.
That's better. If he was a guy, I might even want to fuck you.
You mean if you was a guy, you might even want to fuck me?
So you're a boy? Now what?
She dons a black Stetson.
Come on.
At Broadway Skateland.
No fucking way.
Yes, fucking way.
A joke is a joke.
No, come on, don't be a pussy. Ow.
Listen, let's go home.
Someone's inside.
You've got a day.
I gotta go.
Come here.
Tina darts past him.
Can I talk to you just for a minute?
She comes back looking very much like one of the boys. He snatches it off her.
I'll be back.
Tina.
Tina buys a ticket at the counter and pushes open a door. Inside is a bustling skate hall, decked out with flashing disco lights and glistening streamers. As Tina slowly makes her way through the throng, she repeatedly pats down her hair. She nervously approaches some lockers where a group of girls are chatting.
Athletic's nice. You think he's sweet. And good hair. That's important.
A blonde-haired girl stops talking when she notices Tina, who smiles shyly.
I'm Bailey, or Nicole.
A short while later, Nicole and Bailey are skating hand in hand and enjoying themselves. A large glitter ball sends shafts of crystal blue light spinning around the hall. Later that evening, Nicole and Bailey are kissing outside a porch-lit house.
I'm gonna stand right here until you're safe inside, okay?
She toys with Nicole's hair before Nicole reluctantly steps towards the house. Tina throws her arms out and looks gleefully up at the night sky. She walks off into the darkness, casting a final look back at Nicole's house. Headlights streak past in the early morning skyline as clouds skirt by overhead. Directed by Kimberly Pierce.
You're not going anywhere! Fucker!
Lincoln, Nebraska, 1993.
You fucking dyke! You freak! About my sister! Open the fucking door, you fucking faggot! Open the fucking door!
Open this goddamn door!
You fucking asshole! I'm gonna kick your fucking ass!
Alicia! Alicia, who is Alicia?
Dyke! Damn, there's a lot of them!
What the fuck have you done?
You fucking faggot! Cause you do!
What is the matter with you?
You are not a boy. That is what went wrong. You are not a boy.
Tell them that. They say I'm the best boyfriend they ever had.
Do you want your mother to lock you up again? Is that it? Is that what you want?
No.
Then why don't you just admit that you're a dyke?
Because I'm not a dyke.
Fuck you!
Fuck!
Fuck! What are you doing?
The
Get
more
out of my
you
fucking pants.
I want it back. All of it.
Jesus. Careful with that. You have to do that. Jeez.
You're not crashing here anymore, Tina. Get your stuff and go.
Soaking wet, Tina picks up the photos of girls that had fallen out of her wallet. Later, she knocks back a shot in a smoky bar, wincing as she swallows. Sitting at the bar, she sparks up a cigarette and has a quick look around her. A blonde-haired girl wearing a sleeveless blouse starts looking over at Tina, who's just paying for another shot.
Bad night.
Tina smiles.
The worst.
While the girl toys with her beer bottle, Tina takes a drag on her cigarette, thinking, before sidling along the bar to take the seat next to her.
So what's your name?
Candace.
I hate it, though. I'm thinking of changing it. Sometimes that helps. I'm Brandon.
Candace shakes Brandon's outstretched hand, and they smile at each other. Then Candace starts looking through her purse.
I'll pay if you get them.
Sure.
Marlboros. I'll be right back.
Candace watches Brandon as she heads off to get the cigarettes. A guy playing pool turns to his friend.
Check this out.
A man takes Brandon's seat.
My friend's sitting there.
So?
The older man leers at her.
I said get off.
Excuse me. Why don't you leave the lady alone? I don't want any trouble here.
The thick-set man squares up to Brandon.
You gotta be kidding me. I didn't ask you what you wanted, you little fag.
Brandon lands an ineffectual punch on the man, who sends her flying with a single blow. She comes back for more, but someone holds her opponent back.
You motherfucker! I'm gonna kick your white pig
ass,
fucker!
Hold on, cowboy. Can I come on for 5 minutes without you getting us into deeper shit?
Fuck! I'm gonna get your ass!
The pool player decks the older man.
Come on, stud, you got us into this.
They jump into the fray. Later, the three of them tumble out into a narrow alleyway and race around a corner.
Oh shit, cops, man. You're shocked. You know, I would have had those guys if you wouldn't stop me.
Oh my God. John, look.
Yeah, you're gonna have a shiner in the morning.
I am?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
You got a light,
huh? Oh, yeah, here.
She lights John's cigarette. He's in his 20s and has unkempt curly hair.
You have got the tiniest hands.
No?
Yeah.
They're big.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Lewis had tiny hands.
So he didn't throw wild punches without defense. If you're gonna get in fights over girls like Candace, you gotta learn a few moves.
He throws a fake punch.
Come on.
As they head down the alley, John picks up a guy spraying graffiti on the wall.
Hey, pussy.
Fuck you, man.
Tom, this is Brandon.
Hey. John, we'll give you a ride home as soon as we find the goddamn car!
Sorry! It's up here somewhere. We're going to a party. Wanna come?
Candace, it's 70 miles away.
Well, I don't care. I'm in the night as young and I'm a mess, so...
Brandon stops to admire Tom's graffiti. It reads, "Eat me, Lincoln." Now they're on the road with John at the wheel, swigging a beer, and Brandon in the back, half asleep, with her head resting on Candace's shoulder. She wakes up, looking disorientated.
Are we there yet?
I just have a head a little bit. I was going to stop at a roadhouse and get in another fight.
She nods off again as the road lights blur overhead. The next morning, Brandon wakes up fully clothed with her head on a blue and white striped pillow. She looks around, revealing a cut on her cheek from the fight the night before, then gets to her feet and walks over to a window, framing an uninspiring landscape. Now she's outside the house on the phone.
I don't know where the fuck I am.
She snatches a newspaper off a deck chair.
Falls City?
What are you doing down there? I mean, that's not even on the map.
Oh, fuck. Lonnie, my life is a fucking nightmare. I got this big court date next week, and I don't got anywhere to stay.
If I don't make it, I'm fucked. Can I stay at your house?
What about those doctors?
I went.
That shit's insane. You gotta see shrinks, you gotta shoot hormones up your butt, and I mean, it cost a fucking fortune. I'm gonna be, you know, an old man by the time I get that kind of money.
You gotta do something, because you can't just keep running, because you're gonna end up in jail.
You really think I can do it?
You're the butch. Now come straight to my house. No stopping in bars, no stealing, and no more girls.
No more girls. No more girls.
Hey, handsome.
No.
Sleep all right?
Yeah. Candace. I remember.
This is Cody.
Cody. Wow, beautiful.
You still brooding over your fiancé?
What? Oh, yeah, it's a real long story.
God, you're really good with kids.
Yeah, I got one of my own.
Now a horizon of industrial buildings, cloaked in a thick fog. Candace is working behind a bar.
Hey, Brandon.
Good news. I got you a ride.
She waves to a guy sitting at the bar. Whilst an all-girl rock group sings and dances soundlessly on a TV screen, the grizzled male bar clientele are shooting pool, nearly all of them dressed in a uniform of checked shirts and jeans. John and Tom are on a table.
Hey, Chip!
Hey.
Tom only dates girls that got like a little butt and a long crack, like right up to the small in the back. You know what I mean? That's how he picks them. Tom likes some coyote ugly. You know coyote ugly?
I'm all over some booty.
Candace collects their empties.
Thank you.
The man giving Brandon a lift is staring at her.
Looks like you're riding home with Ted Bundy.
Shut up, John. He looks fine, right?
Yeah. Just like family.
Speaking of.
Hey, where's Lana?
We were gonna go on, but she wandered off.
You got some time to stick around, right? These girls get their shit together, they're gonna do some karaoke.
An attractive girl at the bar downs a drink and smokes a cigarette.
Lana! Where you been?
John joins her.
Come on, Lana, let's go on already. Lana, it was your idea.
As the girls pass Brandon's table, Lana stares at her sullenly.
Who are you?
Brandon is speechless and can only smile at her. Brandon joins in the applause as the three girls climb onto the stage. They each grab a microphone and Lana downs another drink whilst Candace taps her mic experimentally. John glares at Tom as he starts to laugh.
In the rearview mirror, I watched it go.
I'll close my eyes for a moment. I'm still there. The bluest stars in Texas are haunting me tonight.
Brandon can't take her eyes off Lana.
Another town, another hotel room.
Lana is staring back at Brandon.
Another dream that ended way too soon. Left me lonely, praying for the dawn. Searching for the strength to carry on. The bluest stars in Texas.
Now the stars are spinning in the sky above an electricity pylon, and Lana is standing outside next to Tom, who's holding a burning piece of paper in his hand. Brandon stares at Lana before reaching for something in her breast pocket. A car pulls up.
What the fucking fuck? I thought you were gonna be like 5 minutes.
We are stuck in Time Warp.
You snap the car right.
Brandon looks at them all longingly. Then John reverses the car and stops opposite her.
Hey, Brandon! Come with us!
Psycho killer, anyway.
Crash
one more
Eagle.
Night, Tyson!
She looks down.
Come on, buddy.
She grins and accepts a can of beer from John, then climbs into the back of the car. Now they're all piling out of the car in a field.
I gotta say, when we get to the house, you know, my sister was totally naked and totally on fire, right, John?
Oh, yeah. Tom was like, where's my camera, right?
You saved everyone?
Oh, yeah. Tom's a big hero. He rescued everybody, right, Dick?
Yeah. So when they brought me in, they were like, oh, this is the biggest fire we've seen around here in 50 years. You're a hero, man. And I was like, yeah? And they were like, yeah. That's why they put me all in them Lincoln newspapers out there. Probably seen
you.
That was me.
That's cool. What the hell is that?
Bumper skier, man.
Lana offers Brandon a beer.
Thank you.
A man is standing on the back of a pickup.
That's for squares, man. I mean, give me real work, like in the oil fields or something.
I was thinking about becoming a smoke jumper out Mount St. Helens, you know, fighting fires, making lots of money, and then traveling all around. Memphis, Graceland, Tennessee.
Dick. Graceland is in Memphis, and Memphis is in Tennessee.
I know.
Maybe you've had enough.
I ain't had any.
No shit, man. People like you, you don't need drugs. You just hallucinate 24 hours a day.
The man on the back of the truck falls off.
Oh, shit!
Oh!
He flounders on the ground.
Alright, Tom, you're up.
Oh, not me, man. I'm drinking.
Alright, Brandon, that means you. Come on.
Yeah, stuck. Let's go, cowboy. Come on, you can do it.
Come on.
Lana looks nervous as John drags Brandon off.
This here's Brandon. He's a mean prize fighter up from Lincoln, so you want to be careful what you say to him. Tough. Very tough.
Alright, don't let him scare you. I can do it.
The pickup speeds off with Brandon on the back, holding onto a length of rope. As Lana watches with a look of fascination, Brandon risks raising one fist in the air, then almost loses her balance. She falls off, but quickly jumps back on again, before tumbling into the mud once again. Brandon falls off again. John leaps onto the ground next to Brandon, leaving Lana looking worried.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
I'm
fucked
fine.
Up, you know that?
Why are you driving back around?
You were one crazy little fucker. What are we gonna do with you?
Man, it's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Wait, where are we going? Wait, I'll drive.
Now, Candace strokes Brandon's head as she sleeps on the sofa. Brandon stirs, then remembers Lana outside the bar, inhaling smoke, then allowing a little to escape from her mouth, before indulgently blowing it out in a thin column. Brandon smiles at the memory. Then she furrows her brow and wakes up, pushing down the blanket that's covering her. She stares down at her groin. Now in the bathroom, she's washing the crotch of her trousers, frantically trying to scrub out a stain. Despondently, she lets them drop to the floor. Next, she cautiously empties out a toiletry bag onto the bathroom floor and starts to go through the contents. The bright white lights on the roof of a gas station penetrate the darkness of the night as Brandon pulls up alone in a car. She quickly ducks down behind the dashboard when she sees Lana on the road in front of her, swaying slightly. When it's safe, she sits back up again and stares out of the window, watching Lana as she swaggers into the station, throws a paper at the assistant behind the counter, and then comes back out again. Brandon smooths down her hair in the wing mirror as Lana shouts an obscenity at the assistant, then strolls casually along with her hands thrust into her jacket pockets. Brandon ducks into the station.
Oh, hey. You sell, Ruffles?
Ruffles, right over there.
Hi.
The young man behind the counter points, and she sets off in the general direction, but she's desperately scanning the shelves for something else. Finally, she finds a pack of sanitary towels, but has to hide when Lana comes back in.
Dream on, Lana. Can't be selling you no beer tonight.
Fine, I'll browse.
A man with grey hair comes in behind her.
Beer's in the back if you want.
Brandon stuffs some tampons into her jacket pocket just before Lana appears at the end of the aisle.
Oh. Hey. Space cowboy. I'm so wasted. I don't know if I'm ever gonna come down. Okay. I need beer.
She leans Lana against the wall, then takes some beers to the counter.
Here, it's for me.
Can I see some ID?
Sure. Goddamn. Jesus Christ, I feel like I'm on ass. It's like an album cover.
Do you, care to join me?
The gray-haired man.
Come on.
Fuck off.
Hey. Don't you talk to me like that, you skanky little snake. Quick stop.
Brandon swipes one of the rings Lana was admiring.
Hey, Lana. Lana, wait. I'll drive you. I got Candace's car. I'm walking. Well, here.
She gives her a beer.
What are you still hanging around here for, anyway? Well, I thought someone ought to walk you home before you get an MIP or something. I don't need anybody to walk me anywhere.
Lana stumbles and nearly falls.
Jeez, watch it. I don't need you to stop me from tripping. Lana, you're one cranky girl. Yeah, well, you'd be cranky too, Mr. I'm going to Memphis, Graceland, Tennessee. You're stuck in a town where there's nothing to do but go bumper skiing and chase bats every night of your evil fucking life. Hey, I've been bored my whole life. Yeah? Is that why you let John tie you up to the back of a truck and drag you around like a dog? No, I just thought that's what guys do around here.
Now, the two of them are approaching a house.
Wait a minute. What's your name again?
Brandon.
A science fiction movie is on TV.
The discs took off from here.
Lana and Brandon burst in through a door and find a woman sprawled out on the couch.
Mm-hmm. Look, just go on home, okay?
The woman turns over.
God, I hate my life.
Lana?
I hate your life, too.
Don't look at my stupid house.
I'm not looking at your stupid house. I'm looking at you.
Lana heads towards the couch.
What was I thinking?
Come on. Did you eat?
The two of them haul Lana's mother up onto her feet.
Don't, it's okay.
Later, Brandon brings Lana some water.
You drink this, you'll feel better in the morning. Come on.
She gives her some pills, then looks around the bedroom with interest.
Good for you.
Brandon holds up a stuffed toy.
Yeah, I got a thing for cows.
I know a song about cows. My dad taught it to me.
You're not gonna sing it for me, are you?
No. I can't sing to save my life.
Me neither.
What? Sure you can. You sing great.
That wasn't me. It's karaoke.
So, you were still great. I couldn't do it. A lot of people I know couldn't.
Lana settles down to sleep, and Brandon gazes down at her happily. As she turns over on the bed, Brandon pulls the stolen silver ring out of her shirt pocket and hooks it over the ear of the stuffed cow on the bedside table. With a smile, she switches out the light and starts to head out of the room, pausing in the doorway to look back at Lana.
You don't know any songs about cows?
Sure I do.
Brandon closes the door, plunging the room into darkness. The next morning, Candace is making up a bed whilst smoking a fag, and Brandon is fast asleep on the couch. She wakes up bleary-eyed, then joins Candace in the kitchen.
Hey. Is it always this nice here in the morning?
I made you a little breakfast.
Wow.
Thank you.
Candace dishes up some pancakes and smiles fondly at Brandon. Now at Lana's house.
Lana sucks.
I thought Aunt Lana's asleep.
Oh, yeah, Aunt Lana, she is a nice girl, but she is as lazy as the day is long, sweetheart. Don't you be like that, okay? Huh?
Hmm? April, you answer somebody when they ask you a question.
How'd things go with her mother?
Well, she gave me April for a couple days.
Who's that lady? Oh! I love this song. Beautiful. Yes.
Who's that lady? John grins as Lana's mom gets to her feet to turn up the volume.
Beautiful lady.
I wish a mom would introduce her to me.
She cuddles up to John.
I didn't get a chance. I didn't get a chance.
He reluctantly gets up to dance with her, then starts to kiss her neck.
April?
I just saw her tonight.
Jesus, will you turn down the goddamn music? Woo! Put her to sleep!
They pull Lana unwillingly onto the makeshift dance floor.
Motherfuckers! Why they ever let your fucking dad in jail?
She pulls a pottery ornament off a shelf and is about to smash it, but then changes her mind and puts it down in front of a long mirror. Then she stares at her reflection, running her hands over her stomach before falling back onto the bed with her eyes closed. Back at Candace's place, Brandon catches a brief glimpse of herself in a mirror as she walks past wrapped in a towel. She inserts a tampon, wincing with pain, then looks around her, trying to find somewhere to dispose of the applicator and wrapping. Eventually, she shoves them under the mattress, then unfolds a towel containing the accoutrements she needs to transform herself into a man. She begins by binding her breast tightly with a roll of bandage. She pulls on a pair of white Y-fronts and smooths her wet hair back. Then her hand lingers between a pair of rolled up socks and a plastic penis. She chooses the socks and positions them down the front of her pants in front of the mirror. She checks out her side profile, then spends some time on her hair before pointing at her reflection proudly and laughing to herself.
I'm an asshole.
Uh-oh.
What?
Blowout. What happened?
I'm in the doghouse again, you know what I mean?
Man, I've been there my whole life.
Women, right?
Yeah.
You gonna do a little damage control?
And then you're gonna fuck it up all over again.
Yeah. Come on. Oh, my goodness.
Hey. Who are you? What's your name, huh?
April.
April. Yeah. How'd you get such a pretty name, huh?
My daddy.
Yeah, that's true. I named her. Hey, where are you going?
Mama.
All right. Come on.
April runs inside.
Got an extra cigarette?
Mm-hmm.
Is she Lannis?
Lannis? No.
No, I had April with a different girl, Mallory.
This here's my real family, even if it's my real home. You know. I mean, Lana, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain.
He gets out his wallet.
Well, I got 12 more like this at home. I keep it in a secret place. She wrote to me when I was in lockup.
Lana did?
Yeah. She wrote to me. Even my own mom didn't write to me. But she did. Lana and her mom. They took me in.
John playfully slaps Brandon on the head.
Fuck, fucker.
Brandon, honey, where'd you say your folks are from?
I'm from Lincoln, but my dad's out in Memphis right now. And my mom's in Hollywood.
Hollywood?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My sister's a model.
Jesus, that's glamorous.
Hey, Brandon, while you're up, why don't you clean these ashtrays for us? I'm just playing with you, bud.
Brandon, come here. Over here. Closer where I can see you. Let me look at you a lot. Come on. I can believe you got a model for a sister. You're like a little movie star yourself.
John looks a little put out. Now they're watching a show on TV.
Hey, April.
Mm-hmm.
Want a beer?
Hey, what the fuck are you doing?
Here you go. Have some of Dad's. Come on, a little bit.
Well, 4 years ago. You would have thought he could take care of himself, let alone that kid. Shit, 4 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to talk to him.
Prison.
Mm-hmm. And her mother, Jesus Christ. And this one kept that boy's spirit alive.
Mom, just forget about that.
Oh, shit. No, the little bastard just pissed on me. This never would have happened if she had the proper training. I know your mother's an asshole, you know that?
John, she had an accident. It's okay, sweetie. It's not your fault.
Brandon and Lana duck outside.
Having fun? Yeah. I think my mom, she's pretty weird, huh? Well, I like her. Yeah, I think she's funny. Mine for real?
Excuse me. Mine erupted in something.
Brandon.
I want you to take a picture of me and my daughter. Lana's dad gave us that.
Mom, I don't feel like I have my picture taken now.
Oh, come on, honey. Just one. Come on. Hey. Well, refill time. Bring it in when you're ready, okay?
She leaves them alone again, and Lana rolls her eyes before smiling sweetly at Brandon.
Here, look. It's not bad, huh?
Oh.
What? No. Why not? You're beautiful. Come over here.
She beckons Brandon to follow her out of the front garden and under a tree. After hesitating, Brandon follows.
Had a dream about you last night.
You did?
What happened? Ow! Come on, tell me the dream. Someone walked me home last night. I think it was you.
Brandon takes a photo.
No fair!
Whilst they're chasing each other flirtatiously, Kate emerges from the house. Now, the gang are stumbling away from the house.
Oh, John, you're too fucked up. Why don't you let Brandon drive?
Hey, hang on a little, buddy.
He gives Brandon the keys.
Tom!
Tom vacates the front seat for Candace. Now, as they grind to a halt on a deserted street, a car full of girls pulls up next to them.
Why don't you turn down your radio?
Yeah, totally. What the fuck are you looking at?
Wall people?
What the fuck did you just say?
It's wall people.
Let me out of here.
Fight me, you fucking buttpacker!
Eat me.
Fuck you!
As the expensive car pulls away, Brandon manages to get the engine started and sets off after them. The occupants of Brandon's car egg her on. The needle touches 60, and Brandon grins as they race down the road. She manages to get alongside the posh girl's car and flicks them the bird, whilst Tom moons at them. They manage to overtake and speed off down the road, lit only by their headlights. Brandon begins to slow down.
Don't stop. Go faster.
Brandon.
Go faster.
She looks back at Lana, who's staring at her calmly, then pushes her foot down onto the accelerator. John whispers instructions in her ear.
When you hit the gravel, drop to 40.
She turns off the road and onto the gravel, with the cop car close behind. It's quickly engulfed in the dust thrown up by her tires. John leans forward.
That's okay. Neither can he. You're flying.
As Brandon squints with concentration, Lana looks out of the back window at the police car as it's left behind to fade into the darkness. Then Lana and Kate both stare at Brandon wide-eyed. John leans back. Suddenly, the lights of the police car begin to draw nearer again. Later, a cop is checking Brandon's fake driver's license in the name of Charles Brayman.
Take it out.
Tom is giggling inanely.
I wouldn't do anything.
Going off fast back there, Mr. Brayman. Mind telling me what you're doing in Falls City?
I'm just visiting, officer, sir.
Yeah, where are you staying?
She glances across at Candace, who keeps her eyes fixed on the ground.
You staying with me?
The cop shines his torch on Lana, and Brandon smiles to herself.
Can't run a check on this, son, because our computers are down. But I could run you all in right now.
Oh, you could let these guys go, homie. You know, they ain't got anything to do with it. I got a little carried away back there. I mean, we don't got anything like this in Lincoln.
Douglas Highway? Only one in Nebraska. That's a 100-foot drop.
Brandon looks slightly unnerved by this. The others smirk.
I'm not gonna lock you up, but you're getting a ticket.
Okay.
Those are residential streets back there. So you slow down. Do you read me, Mr. Brayman?
Absolutely, sir.
Let me see this idea. It's pretty slick. Charles Brayman.
I let you down. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, don't worry about it. We'll take you down to the tunnel, trace some bats.
Yeah, it's like the tunnel of love.
God, Candace, did you get a grip? Is that your baby birthday?
No, November 10th, 72.
Hey, that's next week. Let's have a party.
21. You're gonna be a man.
Shit.
They pile back into the car.
Don't you never pull that shit again.
What?
You heard me. I said don't ever pull that shit again. You got me stopped by the fucking cops.
Well, you're the one who told me to race after him.
They had you on the clear and you fucked up.
John, it's over. Don't get upset.
I'm not upset. You almost got us killed.
I almost got us killed?
Ooh. Brandon.
You're the one who led us 90 miles an hour into a cloud of dust and shut your eyes just as we were about to go off some 400-foot ravine.
Shit. Fuck.
Get out of my goddamn
car.
Get out of my motherfucking car. Get out of my damn motherfucking
shit,
shitty
get the
car.
Fuck up.
Out. Get out of my goddamn motherfucking shitty cock-sucking car.
John hounds everyone but Lana out of the car. Brandon watches her with quiet concern.
Not you.
Fuck you.
No, not you.
John clumsily reaches for something in the back, and Lana shoots Brandon a look. Brandon and the others watch dejectedly as the car pulls off into the night. Bewildered, Brandon shrugs.
Welcome to Psycho Ward.
With only one taillight working, John's car starts reversing back up the highway.
Come on, Kate, he's taking us to work.
You know, Tom set that fire himself.
Kate trots over to the vehicle and hops in the back. As it drives off once more, Candace frowns pitifully.
That's my car.
Brandon shakes her head, exasperated.
Doctors say I ain't got no impulse control. I'm the only one who can control that fucker.
Tom swigs his beer.
Come on. We'll walk you home, Candace.
Flames lick around the burning embers of a fire.
You ever try this?
Tom sticks his hand in.
Tom, did you set your own family's house on fire?
Tom removes his hand and shakes it. Then he gets out a flick knife.
What about this? You ever do this?
He draws the blade along a big scar on his chest.
The fuck, Tom?
Some people punch holes in walls. This helps snap me back into reality. Get to control this thing inside me so I don't, you know, lash out at someone. Me and John used to do it to ourselves all the time at lockup. I could always go deeper into him. He was such a wuss.
He has scars on his leg as well. He gets to his feet and steps up to Brandon, offering her the knife.
Try it.
She looks at the blade and then rises slowly.
I guess I am a pussy compared to you.
He eyes her suspiciously and then shoves her.
I'm just joking with you, man.
Brandon smiles with relief and they swig their beers. Later, they're both sprawled out on their backs, gazing up into the night through the latticework of a metal pylon. As the clouds skirt overhead, the pylon starts to revolve, and strobe lighting flickers over its complex structure. Daybreak advances, and headlights streak past. Now Brandon's searching through some paperwork in her bag. She takes out a court summons.
Fuck.
She rips a blank check from a book in a drawer and leaves a note for Candace, which reads, I had to move on for a couple of days. I'll see you soon. Thanks for everything. Love always.
Brandon. Hey. I'm so sorry. I just had to see someone nice. I just got off work and I'm having a nervous breakdown. Just a minute, I had to pee, okay?
Brandon grins with excitement and then goes back to the note she was writing.
God, I was scared to death that Candace was going to catch me. You know, she's obsessed with finding a husband. I'm positive you're your favorite candidate.
I can't believe you worked last night. I mean, you must be exhausted.
Yeah, me neither. I do it all the time, though. I mean, you don't have to be sober to waste spinach.
Lana flops onto the sofa.
Thanks for the coffee. Really hard though.
I have to go back to Lincoln to take care of some stuff.
You really leaving?
Yeah.
Are you gonna see your sister? Model?
Yeah.
Photos.
Oh. Nicole? She's pretty. Is she gonna be there?
Yeah. Now that she's married, we're gonna be taking off any second.
Brandon edges closer.
So, where are you going on your big trip out of here?
I don't know. I guess it's not all worked out yet.
Well, that's okay. Thanks for giving your address to the cops.
It was nothing.
Brandon leans over and kisses her on the lips.
I might hitchhike.
Really? I've never done that.
Me neither.
They gaze into each other's eyes. Then Brandon gathers her things.
Well, this might sound really stupid, but do you think there's anywhere I could make money doing karaoke?
Lana, people make money doing all sorts of things. Do you really write letters to him in prison?
Give me a break. I was 13 years old. Who told you that? My mom?
He did.
With their eyes locked on each other, they slowly shuffle together. They kiss once more, but with an intensifying passion. With a look of slight alarm, Lana steps back.
You better go.
Caught up in the moment, Brandon steps towards her, but then turns and leaves. Lana watches from the doorway, her eyes filled with longing. The screen door slowly swings shut, but Lana can't peel her eyes away from Brandon. She stands there gazing long after Brandon has gone. Now, rich blue clouds stretch into the distance, ending just before the horizon, where the sky is a pale orange. Nighttime, and Brandon arrives at Lonnie's trailer home. She waits anxiously as the curtains at the door's window get pushed aside.
Please, please don't get mad. One night and I'm gone. They're not gonna lock me up, are they?
Gina, how the fuck do I know what they're gonna do? I'm sick of watching you fuck up.
But I'm not fucking up. It is so good down there, Lonnie.
In Fall City? They hang faggots down there. Did you know that?
Never even been there, look.
Photographs.
Look at this. Isn't she beautiful?
I feel like white trash.
I'm gonna ask her to marry me.
Before or after your sex change operation? Before or after you tell her that you're a girl?
Shut up. It's different. It's working. No, I'm not gonna fuck it up this time.
She looks at Lonnie pleadingly.
I hope they do lock you up tomorrow.
He lets her come in.
Keith Pierce, for the crime of spray painting and smashing 50 new cars, you are sentenced to 6 months at the Juvenile Detention Center. Tina Brandon. Tina Brandon, docket 72391.
She's huddled on a bench. Her case file flashes up.
Tina Brandon, docket 72391, Grand Theft Auto.
Images of her posing for mugshots and speeding away in a car. Eventually, she sneaks out, and a failure to appear stamp is printed on her file. Now, she emerges from the nighttime road on a motorbike and stares across a dark expanse of water at a well-lit factory. In her blue work overalls, Lana's smoking a fag by an open warehouse window. Brandon sits nearby, watching her. Then she gets out an instant camera. Lana sees the flash.
Lana, down here. Brandon, where'd you get that? Nice hat.
Lana takes off the plastic cap to reveal her long blonde hair.
I gotta go, my break's almost over.
Brandon's smile intensifies, and Lana takes a long drag on her cigarette and seems reluctant to leave. Sometime later, they're sitting together looking at the photo Brandon took.
It looks so different from the outside.
They both glance over at the factory, its lights blinking in the night. Moments later, they're kissing, and Brandon tentatively unclips Lana's bra.
You're so pretty.
She slips it off over the soft skin of her shoulders, then caresses Lana's hair. They both lie back gently on the long reed grass at the water's edge. Brandon runs her hand down over Lana's breast, and they kiss once more. Lana slowly reaches down towards Brandon's jeans.
I feel like I'm in a trance.
Brandon gently guides her hand away.
Am I going too fast?
Now she kisses Lana's navel and undoes her jeans. Lana writhes in breathless ecstasy. Brandon's hand gently squeezes Lana's breast, and she sighs with pleasure. With her eyes closed, Lana smiles, enjoying every moment. Her mouth is wide open as she gasps with pleasure. Reaching climax, her eyes roll open excitedly. Lights in the night spin in a blur around her. An image of Lana, Brandon, and Candace smoking drugs whilst Kate drives the car. They all bounce and scream with enjoyment. Then Candace points out something up ahead, and they all gasp and laugh. Now Lana's trying on some jeans in a mirror, whilst Kate smokes a bong on the bed behind her.
I cannot wear these, they make me look fat.
Quit changing the subject. I saved your ass at work, now tell us what's going on.
Yeah, I bet Brandon doesn't think you're fat.
Well, nobody looks fat when they're laying down.
I knew it! I fucking knew it!
We just drove around taking pictures.
Yeah, right.
Now a flashback to the fully clothed Brandon lying on top of Lana on the grass. kissing her hungrily whilst she writhes beneath her. Remembering the moment, Lana covers her face.
Oh, I cannot talk about it. It's too intense.
Come on, Lana. I can't take it.
Lana lets her hand slide off her face and looks at her friends with a smile. In flashback, Brandon fumbles with her flies, takes something out, and inserts it into Lana. Whilst Brandon is gently thrusting on top, Lana catches a fleeting glimpse of her cleavage, partially hidden beneath the bandages. Lana slows down.
Are you okay?
Lana rolls to the side and sits up whilst Brandon tucks herself in. Lana's hand, with its red-painted nails, begins exploring Brandon's body. She gently cups the bulge in Brandon's crotch before letting her hand drift upwards towards her face. Whilst she's studying and stroking her profile, Brandon's eyes look at her questioningly. She leans forward and kisses Brandon tenderly on the lips. Back in the present, Lana strokes her own face as she remembers the moment.
And then we took off our clothes and went swimming.
In flashback, Lana gently pushes Brandon onto her back on the ground.
Don't be scared, Brandon.
Then she gets on top of her. Back in the present.
But did you do it? What do you think?
Lana leaps up off the bed.
Ow!
Now Brandon blows out the candles on a birthday cake before turning and giving Lana a kiss.
What'd you wish for?
I know what he wished for. Yeah, baby!
Oh,
that's
so gross.
Happy birthday.
Uh-oh. You shouldn't have, really.
Brandon opens the cheeky novelty gift.
Keeping me strong, Mom?
Happy birthday, sweetheart.
Thank you, Mom.
Sorry, I forgot mine.
It's okay.
I haven't wrapped mine yet.
Hey, Grace,
how you doing?
Hey, man, we were doing a job in Omaha. We could have used the lookout, right, John?
John Lauder, I know your mother, and I know she taught you how to knock. Shit, we could have been lying around here naked for all you know, baby.
Where's Lana?
She's in a room. Hey, come on, get a beer, John. It's Brandon's birthday. Sit with us.
Lana's sitting brushing her hair when John enters her bedroom.
Hey, gorgeous.
Walk right in, why don't you? Can't you see I'm busy fixing my hair?
Your hair is beautiful, you know. I love your hair. I got this for you up in Omaha.
Cool.
She sets aside the shot glass.
Tom and I went up to Lincoln for a couple of days.
Stealing cars.
She's busy wrapping Brandon's gift.
Came by the factory before we left, and you weren't there.
So?
He picks up the photos.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Don't get upset, I just want to talk.
John, about what?
About you and Brandon, I'm just looking out for you.
What are you talking about? He's your friend too.
I miss you. I do.
Stop it, John. You give me the creeps. You're like a stalker.
Fuck you. No.
John,
no,
sorry.
Fuck you.
I just need some privacy right now.
You know, I just want to protect you.
I know. No one's ever protected me like you.
What do you see in him? I mean, I know he's, like, nice and everything, but he's kind of a wuss.
I know he's no big he-man like you. There's just something about him.
Oh, yeah. There's just something about him. I don't know.
Stop making fun of me!
Lana, honey, are you fucking him?
God damn it, John. It's not your fucking business.
You are.
Excuse me. Did I interrupt something? Lana, you okay? Don't even think about it, John.
Dancing, Lana watches John sit next to Brandon.
John, let's hit the road, man.
No, it's Brandon's birthday.
Beautiful, isn't she? Oh, man. I know, since she was like this high. I could tell you stories about her. You know, kind of stories.
Lana swigs her beer, frowning at them.
She told me about you guys. And I can't think of a better guy to give Lana to than you, so happy birthday!
Thanks, Joe.
Just one thing you gotta remember, little man, is this is my house.
Come on, turn up the music! Turn up the music!
John gets up, leaving Brandon forcing a smile and looking uncomfortable. On a dark night, John lights up a cigarette. He's outside the factory, watching Lana as she works at an upstairs window. He closes his eyes and lifts his cigarette to his lips once again. Inside, Lana looks out of the window and momentarily slows down in what she's doing. He opens his eyes again so he can drink her in some more. Now daytime and Lana's with Brandon.
I quit.
Quit what?
My evil job. I just been thinking and thinking, well, what am I doing here? And then it came to me. I'll go to Memphis with you.
Memphis?
I got it all figured out. You're right. I'll make money singing karaoke.
Lana.
You'll manage me. And if I'm no good, then you'll sing and I'll manage you. It's perfect. Nothing can go wrong if we're together.
Lana, it's a little more complicated than that. You know, Memphis is far.
It's 1,327 miles.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been thinking. We could just start our own trailer park right here in Fall City.
What, you don't want to go with me?
Oh. Of course I do. That's the point. I'll marry you right now.
Oh, Lana. You're in trouble again.
Actually, that ain't Lana's. It's mine. I'll take care of it. I just got my first paycheck. Come on now, you go sit down.
Okay.
I'll bring your breakfast right on over to you. The thing about the trailer park is we'll have picnic tables, some people playing music, and barbecues every night. We'll invite our friends, Candace, Kate, your mom. Heck, even John, if you two don't kill each other first. And best of all, we'll have our own Airstream.
Now inside Hunt County Courthouse. Dealing with Brandon, a receptionist frowns at something on her computer.
You know, if that's too much of a hassle, you could just mail that receipt right to my house.
No, that's all right. I'll just be a moment, though. Be right back.
As she heads off with the official letter Brandon received earlier, Brandon tries to steal a look at the PC.
Just
Brandon turns and spots a policeman coming in with a piece of paper.
Miss Brandon? Miss Brandon, we put your Charles Brayman ID number through the computer yesterday, and this is what the Lincoln authorities faxed us over.
She reads through the document.
You tell me.
Wow. This Tina chick seems pretty messed up. What the hell is this?
Candace holds up a check to the checkout girl.
Who wrote this?
That guy who was staying with you. Brandon.
Wearing a red prison boiler suit, Brandon's busy writing something down in her cell. She looks up and gazes out between the bars, thinking for a moment, before continuing. Meanwhile, Candace is going through a chest of drawers at home, looking for her checkbook. Next, she looks under the bed, then rifles through the bedclothes on top of it. She sticks both hands under the mattress and is shocked to find a tampon applicator hidden there. Now back with Brandon, writing in her cell.
Dear Lonnie, I bet you can't guess where I am. That's right, back in jail, in Falls City. I'm so tired of fucking up. I'm trying to stay strong, but I don't know if I can face all the mistakes I've made.
Discovering Brandon's trousers soiled with blood, Candace sinks to her knees. Then in the bin, she finds Brandon's summons with her real name on it.
I'm staying tough.
Whilst Brandon's doing press-ups in her cell, Candace is reading the court summons in floods of tears. In a nighttime play park, Lana pushes a roundabout, then hops on. Kate removes an aerosol from her mouth, then lies back to enjoy the ride. Candace is standing watching them.
Candace, why you look so funny?
Candace doesn't respond, but just stands looking serious. Lana leaps off the roundabout and grabs her by the arm. Now Lana finds Brandon in the women's holding cell.
Lana, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here? The girl's cell?
Oh, place is crazy. It's like, put you wherever they want. I mean, it's fine with me, I guess, but... Really, give us a break, man. Watch the rest of the show. Tell us how it ends. Well, we only got 3 channels. I hate it.
Brandon, what's going on?
You want the truth, don't you?
Lana nods.
It sounds a lot more complicated than it is. Do you have any water? Because my voice is dry. I'm a rampantite.
What?
Come here.
Lana steps closer.
It's a person who has both girl and boy parts. Brandon's real name's Tina Brandon. Oh, see, Brandon's not quite a he. Brandon's more like a shut up.
It's your business. Look, I don't care if you're half monkey or half ape. I'm getting you out of here.
She holds Brandon's hands tightly through the bars of the cell, stroking her fingers with her thumb. Now, Brandon's back in her normal clothes, and Lana and her running down the steps of the courthouse holding hands. Together, they push open the door to outside. John and Tom enter the bar. I would say I'm sorry. They head up to the counter.
Candace. I spoke to Lana's mom. She's missing. You know where she is?
I don't know. I swear.
Candace, if you know anything, you better tell me now.
Now, you know what? I already opened my big mouth. Now no one's talking to me.
Candace, I'm talking to you.
He pours her a drink, which he knocks back.
Either I'm fucked up, or something's totally weird.
Come on, Candy, you can tell me. I won't tell anybody.
I need more to drink.
There you go.
Brandon and Lana are standing outside their car, kissing passionately. Brandon starts to undress Lana, unzipping her jeans, before gently cupping her head as she leads her backwards into the front seats. Lana holds up her arms so Brandon can pull off her top. Moments later, Brandon kisses Lana's breast, then runs her tongue upwards, searching for her mouth. Lana's hands begin exploring under Brandon's shirt.
God damn it. I'm gonna touch you the way you touch me. Wait. Fuck you, Brandon. Fuck you. I should feel what I feel.
She starts to undo Brandon's jeans.
Wait. Soon. I promise.
Is she back yet?
No, I'm all right. Come on, let's just go find Lana.
He'll show up.
Kate, I want you to tell me what's going on.
Mom, you read the paper today?
No.
Okay, show Mom the paper.
John, you promised.
Come on. Is Lana your friend or not?
Just give me that.
Lena Brandon, age 19, picked up on speeding violation. So, Brandon got a ticket.
The name, Mom. The name.
Lana's mom reads the name again.
He's got her brainwashed. That's what they do.
Get out. There's nothing in Lana's room. Get out of there. John, just leave her stuff alone.
I'm not touching her stuff. If you already got a mother, you wouldn't have let this happen.
Don't get out.
Right? I've been telling you all along you couldn't trust him.
John, you never told me anything.
Tom and John are going through Lana's stuff. In a hold all, John finds a dildo and a pamphlet.
Holy fucking mother of fuck. Tom, check this out.
Cross-dressers and transsexuals, the uninvited dilemma.
Sexual identity crisis? Jesus fucking Christ, Tom, check this out.
Okay, look at this.
The grafted skin will mimic the loose skin of the natural male penis. Get this sick shit away from me!
Just give it a minute, okay? Just gotta think how's it work. Okay. But I'll miss you.
Outside the house, Lana smiles, then kisses Brandon tenderly on the lips. They hug each other tightly. Lana reluctantly prizes herself away from Brandon and heads into her house, where she finds everyone sitting waiting for her.
Thank God you're home.
What, I go to work and you guys party all night without me?
Come on in, have a beer.
Look, I gotta take a shower. I don't mean to be antisocial, but I'm really tired, you guys.
How's work went?
Oh, you know, whatever, Mom, usual.
She finds her bedroom in a mess.
Mom, what the hell's going on? What did you tell them?
You called work. We know you weren't there.
Why is he talking to me? What are you, my dad? Why are y'all staring at me? Get away. Oh, you're gross. You're horrible people. Get out of my room.
Honey, we're all worried about you. We're just trying to save you.
You got a sick what you're showing it.
Are you sick?
Hey, what's that?
Hey. Oh, oh my God.
Oh. What's up? Brandon, turn around and walk out that door right now.
Mom.
This is a nut house.
It's fine.
It's not a
nut house.
I'm just worried.
What's going on?
Just need to talk about a couple things, that's all.
What do you need to talk to Brandon about?
Well, there's some things I don't understand, because you took a leak with me and pardon my French, Mom, but you shook off your dick.
Oh, yeah, what was that bullshit about paying child support for a kid you can't even visit?
You've been spouting nothing but lies
no.
the minute you came into town.
No.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep,
when you rode in on your pussy-whipped faggot horse.
Tom, I mean, the fact is, little dude, when it comes right down to it, you're nothing but a goddamn liar, am I right?
No.
You know, we do liars.
No, you guys.
There was never any Memphis, was there?
Oh, my God, we're totally fucking with you. Seriously.
Yeah.
Come on, go get Brandon a beer. wondering about this paper which you are in, Tina.
John hands Brandon the newspaper for her to read.
Odd, it's our ticket. I guess they're pretty hungry for news here.
Yeah, but what I'm wondering about is the name. Brandon? I mean, Tina?
Boy, I really fucked up. I borrowed one of Candace's checks, and I got that speeding ticket and this fake ID. I guess I just need to learn to stay home, huh?
Brandon, I invite you into my home, and you expose my daughter to your sickness. Do you ever think about Lana and all this?
That's all I've been thinking about.
You know, Lana, if you are a lesbian, you just need to tell me.
John, I'm not. Mom, it's not.
You gotta stop it.
No, it's not Lana. It's me. Lana, I'm so sorry. Mom, wait. I can explain. We can work this out. I had this thing, and I've been to counseling.
You fucking pervert. Are you a girl or are you not? Are you a girl or are you not?
There's a real easy way to solve this problem.
Fuck you.
What, you want to fight?
Fuck off me. Tom,
Lana! Lana!
Psycho brain!
Kidding you for lying to
Lana. John, there's not going to be any killing going on, okay? Do you trust me enough to let Brandon show me? Then I'll tell you. You trust me enough? Okay, John.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, God. Fuck me. Holy fuck. Get over here. I'm so sorry, Brandon.
Lana. I gotta explain.
No. Button up your pants.
You're not showing me anything. Think about it. I know you're a guy.
Okay, but you gotta listen. I was born with this weirdness. It's sort of like a birth defect. I mean, it's actually not that rare, but these doctors are trying to fix it.
I have really weird stuff, too. Don't be scared.
Look how beautiful it is out there.
Oh, Lana.
That's us. We can just beam ourselves out there.
So what are you gonna tell them?
I'm gonna tell them what they wanna hear. I'm gonna tell them what we know is true.
When Brandon looks at her, Lana gives her a gentle smile before turning away.
Mom. I seen him in the full flesh. I seen it. I know he's a man. Problem done. Now let's go to bed.
Son of a bitch, what have you done to my baby? I want to know the truth. What the fuck are you, you motherfucker? Huh? Tell me!
Lana's mother steps away, distraught.
You little liar. Kate, get her out of here.
Come on.
Kate leads Lana away, and her mother follows. John's pinning Brandon to a wall.
Come on, it's the truth, little buddy. Come on.
All right. I'm sorry. Wait, I'm sorry to put you through this. Wait, please.
I'm trying
please.
To
I'll do it.
I'm
I'll sure. do it. Tom, just turn the light off. I'll do it. Please. Fuck. God, let me the fuck go.
What the
fuck?
Tom punches Brandon so John can pull down her trousers.
Please!
What do you see?
Please!
There's something
John.
Down there, Tanya. It's funny.
John,
oh,
please!
Touch it. Oh, God. Oh, God damn it. I can't do it. What the fuck are you? Come on.
Let me go. John, let me go.
Tom pulls down Brandon's pants, forces her legs open, and feels between them.
Look like no sexual identity crisis to me.
John opens the bathroom door.
Get in here. Look at your little boyfriend.
He forces Lana to her knees.
Come on, I'm holding you until you look. Look!
Leave him alone!
Suddenly, everything turns eerily silent. Imprisoned between John and Tom, Brandon looks out into the hallway and sees herself standing there fully clothed. Candace and Kate move away.
Leave him alone!
Him? Him?
Get out of my house!
Mom!
Call the cops! Go on!
Get out! You're just too fucked up!
Leave him alone! Leave me alone! Please, you promise. Just leave me alone.
Brandon flees. Later, and Lana's sitting lost in thought. She looks up at her mother. They're in a police station.
I guess that's everything. You know, I told Brandon that nobody has a right to do that to you. Come on. We've done everything we can. Let's get out of here. Let's go.
I'm waiting for Brandon.
Your mom's right, Lana. Until this whole thing straightened out, it'd be better for everyone if Brandon stays someplace else.
What are you talking about? It'd be better for everyone if you locked up Tom and John.
Lana, everything Dana told us was lies. Everything. Everything. We need to go. Now. Come on. Come on. Get up.
I'm asking you this because if this goes to court, that question is going to come up, and I'm going to want an answer.
I don't know why I have to.
All right, let's back up. After they pulled your pants down and seen you as a girl, or do you find Andy?
From the policeman interviewing to flashbacks of the night before.
No.
Moving away from the house, Brandon senses something behind her. John and Tom have waited in the dark.
Didn't that kind of get your attention somehow? That he wouldn't put his hand in your pants and just play with you a little bit?
I don't know what he did.
She tries to make a run for it, but the two men soon overpower her and roughly drag her away.
Let's go. Come on. Let's go, buddy. Come on.
Now they're driving in a car.
I can't believe that he pulled your pants down, and if you are a female, that he didn't stick his hand in you or his finger in you.
Well, he didn't.
The car pulls into a dark and deserted industrial yard. John gets out first.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car.
Don.
Shut up.
Don.
Move!
Wait, Don.
Shut up.
Don, it's me. Brandon, ignore me.
Shut up.
Please, don't hurt.
Take off your shirt.
Don. Don.
You know you brought this on yourself, Tina. Don, get out of the car! Take off your shirt. Take off your shirt.
You can make this easier. You can get the shit knocked
out
of
you. All right. I'm all right.
John punches her, then forces her onto the back seat.
Wait, please, 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 please,
after you had your pants off, how were you positioned in the back seat?
On my back.
He was on your back.
She nods.
Now you say you're 21 and you've never had sex before, is that correct?
No.
I had a spread of you. When they poked you, what did you try to pop it in first at?
I said, move your fucking head!
Where?
My vagina.
John brutally rapes her, then leaps up and down, jubilantly.
Take it.
Tom yanks her out of the car and roughly kisses her. When she pushes him away, John punches her stomach.
Come on.
Tom forces her face down on the hood and removes her breast binding. Then he puts on a condom and violently rapes her from behind.
No!
Come
John watches Tom thrusting excitedly. Then John pulls him off and punches her. As one of them rapes her again, Brandon, in shock, struggles to stay conscious. The car's dazzling white headlight up close. In the police station, Brandon sits, her face a bloody and bruised mess. She remembers being curled up in a ball on the tarmac with her eyes closed. John approaches and tosses her shirt over her. As he pulls her to her feet, her undone trousers start to fall down. She quickly does them up again.
You okay?
Yeah.
Come on, let's go.
She sits between them in the front of the car.
Just take me home, okay?
Now, if you keep our little secret, we'll stay friends, right, little buddy?
Because if you don't, we'll have to silence you permanently.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is all my fault. I know.
As they drive along, the silvery moon drifts downwards across a pitch-black sky. Now in John and Tom's house.
You okay in there, little dude?
Yeah. I'm fine.
Tom sips on a beer. Brandon's in the bathroom.
Getting a beer, you want one?
No. Make sure you get yourself cleaned up in there. Will you need any help?
She quickly does up her shirt.
No, I'm good.
She steps into the bath so she can open up the window.
You almost ready in there, little bit?
She makes a run for it.
Tom! Tom!
Now Brandon's on Lana's doorstep. Lana opens the door.
In my house.
Mom, stop it. He's hurt.
No, I'm sorry.
Come on. No. Call an ambulance.
No.
Now!
Now a doctor snips away the binding around Brandon's breasts.
Almost.
Her entire body is badly beaten. The doctor looks on with concern.
So they assaulted you.
Keeping her eyes on the floor, Brandon nods.
If you don't mind, it's just necessary. I need for you to take your pants off, okay? Please. I'm not gonna hurt you.
How do you know they raped me?
Moved, the doctor places her latex-gloved hands on Brandon to comfort her. Sitting in the police station remembering, a tear trickles down Brandon's cheek. She wipes it away. The policeman looks at her bemused. A tape's recording them.
Why do you run around with guys, being you're a girl yourself? Why do you go around kissing every girl?
I don't know what this has to do with what happened last.
Because I'm trying to get some answers so I can know exactly what's going on. Now, are you going to answer my question for me or not?
I have a sexual identity, girl.
You what?
A sexual identity crisis.
A tear trickles unheeded down her cheek. Now, Brandon pulls down the hood of her jacket, smooths down her hair, then steps onto Candace's front porch. She takes a moment to compose herself before knocking. Candace answers.
Brandon, I just wanted to say I'm really sorry.
Oh my God. What did they do to you? Oh my God. Come in here. Come in. Go inside.
Now in the shower, Brandon closes her eyes and lets the water wash over her face and stiff, bruised body. Her hand moves protectively across her neck and shoulders. Photographs of John and Tom are being thrown into a fire. Back in the shower, Brandon's hands move across her body, over the curve of her buttocks and down her thighs, as if reclaiming it with her own touch. Outside, she realizes she's accidentally thrown a photo of her and Lana into the pyre and quickly fishes out the burnt remains. Candace comes to kneel beside her, and they sit together silently, watching the fire as a photo of Brandon curls up in the flames. Now John to Lana's mother.
That is a bunch of bull. If I want to rape somebody, I got Mallory.
Listen, John. I'm just here to tell you that it's been reported. Listen to me. So if you did anything or anything happened in that room, you get it cleaned up.
The sound of water makes her look up, and she sees Tom hanging up a pair of newly washed jeans over the shower rail.
We went out mudding last night and we got stuck in a ditch. Seriously.
Why is she fucking making lies like that?
Lana's mother sits stony-faced.
Seriously. You want a beer?
She gets up.
No.
Oh, come on.
You take care, John.
I'll come back later and we'll play cards or something.
Sorry. Just give it a few days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm such a stupid fucking pussy!
What, man? You're paranoid. She came here to warn us. She ain't gonna say nothing.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir, tomorrow morning. Yeah, we'll come by. We have to go by the station tomorrow morning.
The small, white-painted wooden shed at the bottom of Candace's garden. Lana tentatively approaches the darkened doorway and steps inside, where Brandon is lying with her eyes closed. As Lana's shadow passes over her body, she gradually wakes up, her eyes blinking at the light that's coming from outside. Lana stands quietly, looking down on her.
Can I come sit by you?
She takes a few steps towards Brandon and slips off her jacket. As she sits down beside her, Brandon's pointedly avoiding meeting her eye.
Do you hate me?
Looking pained, Brandon shakes her head.
Do you need anything?
When Brandon shakes her head again, Lana reaches across and gently strokes her hair and face. Brandon turns her face away, crying.
You're just saying that because you like me.
No.
Lana pulls Brandon to her and cradles her head in her arms, tenderly kissing her crown.
What were you like before all this? Were you like me, like a girl?
Yeah. Like a long time ago. And then I guess I was just like a boy-girl. And I was just a jerk. It's weird, it's just... Finally everything. Well, it's pretty weird, huh?
Yeah. That dream I had the first night. We're on the highway together. We can still do it.
Brandon sits up to look at her.
Lana, Look, I never been on the highway or to Grand Canyon or any place like that. Until I came here, I never even been out of Lincoln. I never even met my dad. He died before I was born, and my sister ain't no model out in Hollywood.
Lana silences her with a loving kiss. Then, with no need for words, Brandon slips off her jacket whilst Lana strokes her back. Lana's hand cups Brandon's scarred and bruised face, and the pair look lovingly into each other's eyes for a long moment, drinking each other in, before Lana lifts up Brandon's arms and pulls off her jumper, revealing her naked body beneath. Later, Brandon's lying on her side with her head propped up on one arm, looking lovingly at Lana lying beside her. Lana comes over all shy for a moment and hides her smiling face.
I was wondering if you want to come home to Lincoln with me. My mom, she'll love you. And then you got to meet my cousin Lonnie. He's a pain, but he's great.
When are we going?
I have to leave tonight, but Candace said she'll drive us.
I better get my stuff then.
Laughing, Lana sits up and puts her jacket on to cover her naked upper body. But when she tries to stand up, Brandon pulls her back onto their makeshift bed for a kiss. Now at home, Lana's packed a suitcase. She's busy writing a note when Brandon appears at her bedroom window.
We can leave right now, it's better. Okay. Don't pack too much. We'll send for it later. Tomorrow morning, you and I will be eating breakfast in Lincoln.
As they stand dancing, Lana looks at Brandon strangely.
Did you do something to your hair? I don't know.
You like it? I don't know, I guess. I'll try and put it back.
Whilst Brandon quickly runs a hairbrush through her short hair, Lana's standing looking a bit bewildered.
All right. We should go.
Brandon goes to kiss Lana, but she deliberately turns her face away. So Brandon kisses her on the cheek instead.
It's okay, Lana. You don't have to come with me now. There'll be time. Just make sure you get out. Okay?
A sudden noise alerts them. John's high and has come into the house.
John, what are you doing here?
Where are they? They're here?
Just wait, okay? I'll be right back.
Brandon ain't here. Where is he?
I don't know. But he ain't here.
Where's Lana?
As Lana quickly returns to her room, he gets out a gun and cocks it. Upset, Lana's mother leans her head against the doorframe.
What?
I said he's at Candace's place.
Lana puts on her jacket, then escapes through her open bedroom window. Outside.
Found him?
Yeah, sorry.
What are you guys doing?
Oh, shit.
Listen, I know I've been a jerk lately. You want to go out for a drink?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, bye.
No. Yeah.
In the garden shed, Brandon finds Lana's ring on the floor, picks it up and looks at it. Lana, John and Tom are in the car.
Where are we going?
Told you not to bring her.
Stay off the main road.
Think they recognize her? We chopped over her head and her hands.
John.
We're just taking care of a couple of dykes. You one of them?
He shows her the gun.
You get this.
You still planning on going to Memphis?
Memphis.
The car's bright headlights penetrate the night. In the shed, Brandon's smiling, lost in a world of her own. She's brought back to reality by the sound of the car pulling up. Brandon hides.
What are we doing here?
There's other people in there. You gotta take care of them, all right?
What are you gonna do to Candace?
The boys charge into the house.
Where the fuck is it?
Ah!
Where the
stop!
Fuck is she?
Stop! Stop! John.
Oh, no!
John.
Ah! Don't hurt my baby.
Stop. It's not her.
Shut the fuck up.
Don't hurt Candace.
Don't listen to her.
John, she has nothing to do with it. John. You were right about me. I just keep getting back up.
You know what? Shut up.
John.
Shut up!
Listen
to her! He said, shut up.
John.
Lana appears and John turns his gun on her.
Tina!
Please let me have my baby, Tina, please!
Why didn't you leave? We can still do it.
Their eyes meet and lock across the room before John turns the gun on Brandon. Seeing Lana, John throws the gun down and quickly tries to stem the bleeding from Brandon's skull.
Please don't hurt my baby, Dad. Please.
Tom shoots Candace and is about to shoot Lana when John pushes him away. As John retrieves the gun, Tom gets his hunting knife and with it repeatedly stabs Brandon's lifeless body. Lana throws him off and leans over Brandon.
Come on, Lana. Come on, Lana. Come on.
With a parting shot, John and Tom stumble out, leaving Lana cowering protectively by Brandon's body. Cody toddles away from Candace's dead body. The next morning, a streak of golden sunlight spans the horizon under a hazy blue and pink sky. Daylight floods in through the window of Candace's quiet house. Amidst the furniture that was knocked over on the floor, a pool of dark red blood leads to Brandon's dead body, unmoved from the night before. Lana is lying asleep, with her face hugging the curve of Brandon's hip. Eventually, her eyes throw open, and she shifts her position a little, still half asleep. As she comes to, she lifts up her head a fraction and looks at Brandon. Gradually, everything comes flooding back, and she buries her face for a moment. When she lifts up her head again, she spots something in the pocket of Brandon's baseball jacket. She reaches across and lifts out a piece of paper. Later, Lana sits engrossed reading the letter when a pair of hands land firmly on her shoulders. With one eye badly bruised and still wearing her pajamas, Candace is lying in the corridor where she fell, with a hand resting on her stomach and one of her legs bent at an awkward angle. Further along the corridor, Lana and her mother are standing in the doorway. When Lana sees Candace, she buries herself in her mother's arms.
Dear Lana, by the time you read this, I'll be back home in Lincoln. I'm scared of what's ahead, but when I think of you, I know I'll be able to go on. You were right. Memphis isn't far at all. I'll be making a trip out on the highway before too long. I'll be waiting for you. Love always and forever. Brandon.
Now, Lana is driving, the reflection of the white markings on the road being thrown up on her solemn face.
Lonesome Texas sun was setting low.
As towns and cities race by, her face slowly breaks out into a smile.
I watched it go. I can still see.
John Lauter was convicted of first-degree murder for the killing of Brandon Tina. He's currently appealing his conviction from death row. Marvin Thomas Nissen, Tom, cooperated with the prosecution and testified against John. He's currently serving consecutive life sentences. A few years later, Lana Tisdall had a baby girl and returned to Falls City to raise her. Brandon Tina, or Tina Brandon, 1972 to 1993.